morning.
Good morning.
And welcome to all who are here with us this morning, and also welcome to those who are listening, especially those residents and staff in Chiswick Manor as they join us today. My name is Tina, and I will be leading the service today. Diane will be leading us in prayer, Janice will bring us our Bible passage, and Trevor will be giving a message in the sermon series. And we're going to hear today about all people will see God's salvation. And I guarantee we will too. We're going to start together. We're going to spend time together now to read a psalm praising God for who he is and what he's done and how important God is. This will help us to focus on what is truly, truly the most important thing in the world. Would you please stand with me and join in saying this psalm together, Psalm 146. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord, my soul. I will praise the Lord all my life. I will sing praise to my God as long as I live. Do not put your trust in princes, in human beings who cannot save. When their spirit departs, they return to the ground. On that very day, their plans come to nothing. Blessed are those whose help is the God of Jacob, whose hope is in the Lord their God. He is the maker of heaven and earth, the sea and everything in them. He remains faithful forever. He upholds the cause of the oppressed and gives food to the hungry. The Lord sets prisoners free. The Lord gives sight to the blind. The Lord lifts up those who are bowed down. The Lord loves the righteous. The Lord watches over the foreigner and sustains the fatherless and the widow. But he frustrates the ways of the wicked. The Lord reigns forever. Your God, O Zion, for all generations, praise the Lord. What wonderful words. We're going to remain standing as we join with the music team, Rosemary, Sam and Trevor, to sing praise for all that Jesus has done for us.
Great God of grace.
Please be seated. This morning is a great opportunity for us to be still in front of God. It is a great opportunity to think about how our week went, especially in the light of our next prayer. Our weeks can be very challenging these days, and it can really try us. But we have a great God who has a big, compassionate, and loving heart. So as we come to him now, thinking about our lives and how we are and our frailty and how we live our life, we can ponder on the things that we've not done, or maybe we should have. How our week, would we have done it differently? So now we're going to center on our wondrous God, come before him with humble hearts. Please join with me in this prayer of thanksgiving. Gracious God, we humbly thank you for all our gifts so freely given to us, for life and health and safety, for power to work, leisure to rest, and for all that is beautiful in creation and human life. But above all, we praise you for our Saviour, Jesus Christ, for his death and resurrection, for the gift of your Spirit, and for the hope of sharing in your glory. Fill our hearts with all joy and peace in believing, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. We're about to hear from God's Word. Janice is going to bring you God's Word this morning. And so if you've got your sheets or you can look at the screen, we're going to hear again from Luke, who's continuing to tell us about Jesus and his fulfilling of his salvation. So before we do, let's commit this particular time and our listening to God. Thank you, Heavenly Father, that all scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness. Open our hearts to receive your word, that we may know you better and be thoroughly equipped for every good work. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. So if you'd like to look up the passage, Janice will bring it to us.
The reading is Luke chapter 3, verses 1 to 22. In the 15th year of the reign of Tiberius Caesar, when Pontius Pilate was governor of Judea, Herod, tetrarch of Galilee, his brother Philip, tetrarch of Iturea and Trachonitis, and Lysanias, tetrarch of Abilene, during the high priesthood of Annas and Caiaphas, the word of God came to John, son of Zechariah, in the wilderness. He went into all the country around the Jordan, preaching a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. As it is written in the book of the words of Isaiah the prophet, a voice of one calling in the wilderness, prepare the way for the Lord, make straight paths for him. Every valley shall be filled in, every mountain and hill made low. The crooked road shall become straight, the rough way is smooth, for all people will see God's salvation. John said to the crowds coming out to be baptized by him, you brood of vipers, who warned you to flee from the coming wrath? Produce fruit in keeping with repentance, and do not begin to say to yourselves, we have Abraham as our father. For I tell you that out of these stones God can raise up children for Abraham. The axe is already at the root of the trees, and every tree that does not produce good fruit will be cut down and thrown into the fire. What should we do then? The crowd asked. John answered, anyone who has two shirts should share with the one who has none, and anyone who has food should do the same. Even tax collectors came to be baptized. Teacher, they asked, what should we do? Don't collect any more than you are required to, he told them. Then some soldiers asked him, and what should we do? He replied, don't extort money and don't accuse people falsely. Be content with your pay. The people were waiting expectantly and were all wondering in their hearts if John might possibly be the Messiah. John answered them all, I baptize you with water, but one who is more powerful than I will come, the straps of whose sandals I am not worthy to untie. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. His winnowing fork is in his hand to clear this his threshing floor and to gather the wheat into his barn. But he will burn up the chaff with unquenchable fire. And with many other words, John exhorted the people and proclaimed the good news to them. But when John rebuked Herod the Tetrarch because of his marriage to Herodias, his brother's wife, and all the other evil things he had done, Herod added this to them all. He locked John up in prison. When all the people were being baptized, Jesus was baptized too. And as he was praying, heaven was opened and the Holy Spirit descended on him bodily, in bodily form like a dove. And a voice came from heaven, you are my son, whom I love. With you I am well pleased. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Thanks, Janice, and thanks, Tina, and welcome, everyone, to church. It's good to see you. Could you just turn around again to say, COVID safely, just say good morning, welcome to church, the Lord be with you. See who's here. Hello. If you're visiting us today, a very special welcome to you. And we're very mindful that a number of us are listening to us online because of either holidays or are just keeping safe at home or need to keep safe at home. And those at Chiswick Manor, we welcome you to listening in to our services this afternoon or whenever you choose to during the week. The Lord be with you. Well, this morning we continue our Bible teaching through the Gospel of Luke, and we're asking the question for each section that we're considering, why has Luke included this information in his Gospel? Why is this passage here? What does he want us to be convinced of or certain of? For that very last question is the reason for why Luke actually wrote his gospel. You remember back there in Luke chapter 1, verses 1 to 4, he said, the reason for why I wrote this gospel to you, Theophilus, is that you might be certain of the things that you have been taught. So today, if of all days, you will certainly need to have access to your Bible and to flick through pages. So in front of you, you should find a pew Bible nearby, or if you've got your phones, you can go on to Luke's Gospel there, or you can just turn to page 1024 in the pew Bibles that are in front of you. The verses won't come up on the screen that are here. I'm going to be encouraging you to go to listen to the scriptures in front of you and being read and seeing God's word unfold before you. As Tina has prayed, I do pray that God will help me to teach his word correctly and that we will experience his spirit guiding us into truth concerning the things of God. Well, the first we heard of John, the one who would be the baptizer, was back there in chapter 1. So in verses 15 to 17. So turn back there to page chapter 1, verse 15 to 17, starting at verse 9. You remember Zechariah has a vision of an angel of the Lord to tell him that his wife Elizabeth is to have a child, and they are both old in age, and this is miraculous. And so we hear of this child being born, and the reason for the prayer being answered, you remember, is not only that Zechariah and Elizabeth may sure have been praying for a child, possibly, but the prayer of all God's people, that the Messiah would come. And God's timing has come for that to be. And it starts with John being sent. So let me read to you beginning at verse 9 through to 17. Then the angel of the Lord appeared to him, verse 11, standing at the right side of the altar of incense. And when Zechariah saw him, he was startled and was gripped with fear. But the angel said to him, don't be afraid. Do not be afraid, Zechariah. Your prayer has been heard. Your wife Elizabeth will bear you a son, and you are to call him John. He will be a joy and a delight to you, and many will rejoice because of his birth. For he will be great in the sight of the Lord. He and is never to take wine or other fermented drink, and he will be filled with the Holy Spirit even before he is born. He will bring back many of the people of Israel and the Lord their to the Lord their God. And he will go on before the Lord in the spirit and power of Elijah, the prophet, to turn the hearts of the parents to their children, to get the parents to do what they should be doing, telling their kids about Jesus, and the disobedient to the wisdom of the righteous, the disobedient to those who are doing the right thing by God, to make ready a people prepared for the Lord. Okay, remember that? A few weeks ago, that sermon on that just before Christmas. Next we hear of John is in verse 36. Let me read to you verses 36 to 37. Mary has had a visit from the angel and told that she's going to have a child and you're going to call him Jesus because he'll save his people from their sins. And now Mary is told that Elizabeth is with child as well. Even Elizabeth, your relative, is going to have a child in her old age, and she who is said to be unable to conceive is in her sixth month. For no word from God will ever fail. Now, I want those words remembered and ringing in our ears today. If anything, they're the words. No word from God will ever fail. All right? Got it. Okay. And the next is in verse 41. Look a little bit further down. Elizabeth and Mary meet up, and immediately John, the baby inside Elizabeth, as a baby, leaps for joy at the presence of not Mary, but at the knowing that the child, the one who is to prepare, is there. And Mary and Elizabeth says, "Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the child you will bear," talking of Jesus. "But why am I so favored that the mother of my Lord," talking about Jesus, "should come to me? As soon as the sound of your greeting reached my ears, the baby, John, in my womb leapt for joy. Blessed is she who has believed that the Lord would fulfill his promises to her." Can you see the thread that's unfolding here with regards to John and his ministry? Okay. The next is in verses 57 to 80. And unfortunately, we didn't get a sermon on this series, so I'll read them out to you. John is born. All right. Remember, Zechariah has been silent up to now because he didn't believe the message of the angel. And we read from verse 57. "When it was time for Elizabeth to have her baby," that's John, "she gave birth to a son. Her neighbors and relatives heard that the Lord had shown her great mercy, and they shared her joy. On the eighth day, they came to circumcise the child, and they were going to name him after his father, Zechariah. But his mother spoke up and said, 'No, he is to be called John.' And they said to her, 'There's no one among your relatives who has that name.' Then they made signs to his father, Zechariah, to find out what he would like to name the child. He asked for a writing tablet, and to everyone's astonishment, he wrote, 'His name is John.' Immediately his mouth was opened and his tongue set free, and he began to speak, praising God. All the neighbors were filled with awe, and throughout the hill country of Judea, people were talking about all these things. Everyone who heard this wondered about it, asking, 'What then is this child, John, going to be?' For the Lord's hand was with him. His father, Zechariah, was filled with the Holy Spirit and prophesied. 'Praise be to the Lord, the God of Israel, because he has come to his people and redeemed them. He has raised up a horn of salvation for us in the house of his servant David, and he has said through his holy prophets of long ago, salvation from our enemies and from the hand of all who hate us, to show mercy to our ancestors, and to remember his holy covenant, the oath he swore to our father Abraham way back in Genesis chapter 12, to rescue us from the hand of our enemies and to enable us to serve him without fear in holiness and righteousness before him all our days. Zechariah, in the power of the Spirit, is prophesying about Jesus. And then he goes and looking at his own son, John, he says, again, moved by the Spirit of God about John's ministry, you, my child, will be called a prophet of the Most High, as in the Old Testament covenant. For you will go on before the Lord to prepare the way for him, to give his people the knowledge of salvation, how to be right with God, through how? The forgiveness of sins. Because of the tender mercy of our God, by which the rising sun will come to us from heaven to shine on those living in darkness and in the shadow of death, to guide our feet into the path of peace. And the child grew and became strong in spirit, and he lived in wilderness until he appeared publicly to Israel. Talking of John. Well, the next we hear of John is in chapter 3, the passage that we have before us. 30 years has passed. John is now a grown man. We gather he's been a joy to his parents, as prophesied, said by the angel, though being old at his birth, if they are still alive, would be quite old. Luke begins in chapter 3 to place the events that are about to unfold in great detail. Look there at verses 1 to 4 of chapter 3. Why does he do that? So, okay, remember back to verses 36 of chapter 1. No word of God will ever fail. All right? So let me read to you verses 1 to 3. In the 15th year of the reign of Tiberius Caesar, when Pontius Pilate was governor of Judea, Herod, tetrarch of Galilee, his brother Philip, tetrarch of Iturea and Trachonitis, and Lysanias, tetrarch of Abilene, during the high priesthood of Annas and Caiaphas, the word of God came to John, son of Zechariah, in the wilderness. He went into all the country around the Judea, preaching a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. So he has taken us back. No word of God will ever fail. Why has Luke actually included this historical information in great detail at this point? It's because he's wanting us to realize that in God's timing, in history, God kept his word. God was going to keep his word. You can check it out, he says to them. In this, he lines it all up. There, then, where, saw, what he was doing, bang. All those things that are there. And then he takes them back to the scriptures. So he takes them back to Isaiah 40, and we read in verses 4 to 6 regarding John, as it is written in the book of the words of Isaiah the prophet. Right? A voice of one calling in the wilderness, prepare the way for the Lord, make straight paths for him. Every valley shall be filled in, every mountain and hill made low. The crooked roads shall become straight, the rough ways smooth, and all people will see God's salvation, the one whom God will send to be the Savior of the world, through the forgiveness of sins. So sending John was part of God's plan right from the very beginning. What God had spoken of in the past, sins will be forgiven, and a baptism of repentance will be proclaimed. Remember back there in verse 16 of chapter 1, to bring back the many of the people of Israel to the Lord their God, and he will go before the Lord in the spirit and the power of Elijah to turn the hearts of the parents to their children and the disobedient to the wisdom of the righteous, to make ready a people prepared for the Lord. And this is what we read of happening and hear in verses 7 to 14 now of chapter 3. What we see is the making ready of people prepared for the Lord, the turning of the hearts to what is right and the right thing to do. Let me read to you verse 7 to 14. Verses 10 to 14. What should we do then? The crowd asked. John answered, anyone who has two shirts should share with the one who has none, and anyone who has food should do the same. Even tax collectors, Luke says, came to be baptized. Teacher, they asked, what should we do? Don't collect any more than you are required to, he told them. Then some soldiers asked him, and what should we do? He replied, don't extort money and don't accuse people falsely. Be content with your pay. And so we see a change of heart, a change of way of moving from selfishness to selflessness, to thinking more of what God requires in terms of justice and mercy and walking humbly with their Lord. People were expecting, and the coming of the Christ was not a new thing either. Okay, so we move now into verses 15 to 18. People were expecting him. People were expecting the Christ to come, someone who would be the perfect king, someone who would be this savior, this salvation of God. And they thought possibly John was this man. Look there at verse 15. They say, the people were waiting expectantly and were all wondering in their hearts if John might possibly be the Messiah, or another word for Christ. John answered them all. Basically, he says, no. One more powerful, one more important to hear and heed was coming. He will baptize with the Holy Spirit and with fire. I'm sure this is not only a reference to salvation, to conversion, to God moving in a person's heart and turning them to Christ, speaking of the work of the Holy Spirit in our lives, but I also think it's a reference to Pentecost, to further, for Luke wrote Acts as well. And you remember there on Pentecost, there in fulfillment of Joel 2 verse 28, that the Spirit would fall on all people, and that to empower by the Holy Spirit the apostles to continue to proclaim the Word of God, to keep it going, right? The Word of God is now amongst them in Jesus, and John is preparing the people to hear it, and then later the apostles would continue that ministry, and we read of that in Acts, to preach the Word of God, to make known God's salvation. Then, in prophetic tones, as would have the prophets of old, John warned his hearers to take the word of God seriously and to believe it, as we should. Verses 17 to 18. He says, his winnowing fork is in his hand to clear his threshing floor and to gather the wheat into his barn, but he will burn up the chaff with unquenchable fire. And with many other words, John exhorted the people and proclaimed the good news to them. Why remember? Why take God's word seriously? For no word of God, remember, will ever fail. God's word will prevail. God's will prevail. Verses 19 to 20, then at first glance, seems a little bit odd to add at this point here, to include, but I can understand why Luke includes it here, because if you remember, he talks here, I'll just read it out to you, but when John rebuked Herod, the tetrarch, because of his marriage to Herodias, his brother's wife, and all the other evil things he had done, Herod added this to them all. He locked John up in prison. Seems like just a historical little fact that Luke adds to the story. But no, I think there's more to this at this point here. What is actually, you remember, King Herod represented the kings. He was a true king at that time, but he was the king, sort of the pseudo-king of the Jews. He is a king of God's people, the Jews in the past and at the present. The history of the kings of God's people, as you'll know, was a failure to actually believe God at his word. Most of the time, when you read through the Old Testament, when the prophets are raised up, the king doesn't listen, right? Only a few do, right? But the king doesn't listen until finally none of them listen to the prophets, throw them in jail and kill them, all right? As Jesus said, that's what they did of the prophets in the past. And so I take it that this is the reason why take things seriously. Take God's word seriously. God's word prevails. It's a warning, a good news for those who long to see God's salvation, his plan, the forgiveness of sin. So it's not unexpected for Luke to add this here in the context here. Then in verses 21 to 22, God's salvation is revealed. Okay, the one whom God had been speaking of, John had prepared for, is revealed. All right. when all the people were being baptized, Jesus was baptized too. And as he was praying, heaven was opened and the Holy Spirit descended on him in bodily form like a dove. And why does Luke include this in here? Not only in fulfillment of God's word being fulfilled, because it doesn't go too far. And a voice came from heaven. Without a doubt, they heard, "You are my son," talking about Jesus. "Jesus is my son, God's son, whom I love. With you, I am well pleased." All right? It's the whole theme of it unfolding for us. We don't hear of John anymore until chapter 7. So turn to chapter 7. Jesus' ministry had begun. The new had come. Jesus has gone about preaching of the salvation, the good news. John's in prison. And there's miracles being done, people healed. All God's authority in Jesus is being seen. God's salvation, God's rescuing from situations is being seen in the work and ministry and person of Jesus. And John's disciples, his helpers, send word to Jesus from John in prison. And we pick it up at verse 17 to 30. Let me read it to you. "This news about Jesus spread throughout Judea and the surrounding country. John's disciples told him about all these things. Calling two of them, he sent them to the Lord to ask, 'Are you the one who is to come? Or should we expect someone else?'" I love it how the Bible doesn't hold the frailties of his saints in the scriptures. The scriptures show us all in our faults, that God is seen to be the perfect one. This marvelous John is now having doubts. It's okay to have doubts. John's disciples, when the men came to Jesus, they said, "John the Baptist sent us to you to ask, 'Are you the one who is to come, or should we expect someone else?'" At that very time, Jesus cured many who had diseases, sicknesses, and evil spirits, and gave sight to many who were blind. So he replied to the messengers, "Go back and report to John what you have seen and heard. The blind receive sight, the lame walk, those who have leprosy are cleansed, the deaf hear, the dead are raised, and the good news is proclaimed to the poor. Blessed is anyone who does not stumble on account of me." And look at what our Lord says. After John's messengers left, Jesus began to speak to the crowd about John. "What did you go out into the wilderness to see? A reed swayed by the wind? If not, what did you go to see? A man dressed in fine clothes? No, those who wear expensive clothes and indulge in luxury are in palaces. But what did you go out to see? A prophet? Yes, I tell you, and more than a prophet, this is the one about whom it is written, 'I will send my messenger ahead of you, who will prepare your way before you.' I tell you, among those born of women, there is no one greater than John, yet the one who is least in the kingdom of God is greater than he." All the people, even the tax collectors, when they heard Jesus' words, acknowledged that God's way was right because they had been baptized by John. But the Pharisees and the experts in the law, Jewish one, rejected God's purpose for themselves because they had not been baptized by John or taken John's baptism, his preaching, his preparation seriously. There's a reason why it's the story of John is in Luke's gospel, all right? It's not just little stories, history, in fact. There's a whole linking of what he's trying to tell us here. Next, we hear of Luke referring to John as in chapter 16, verses 16 and 17, speaking of God's word never failing, never going unfulfilled. Let me read to you verses 16 and 17 of chapter 7. They were all filled with awe and praised God. A great prophet has appeared among you. They said, God has come to help his people. The news about Jesus spread throughout Judea and the surrounding country. John's disciples told him about, I've read this to you, sorry. No word from God will ever fail. All people will see God's salvation. In chapter 16, verse 16. The law and the prophets were proclaimed until John. Since that time, the good news of the kingdom of God is being preached, and everyone is forced their way into it. It is easier for heaven and earth to disappear than for the last stroke of a pen to drop out of the law. I take it that the reason why Luke has included John's ministry in his gospel is to remind us that no word from God will ever fail. God's word, prophesied in the past, fulfilled in the time of Jesus, revealed to mankind, is that all people will see, will know, will God's salvation. So what's this got to do with me today and you? Right? You can ask Rosemary. But when it comes to stories, movies, shows I may see on TV, I like a happy ending, right? God triumphing over evil. Justice being done. A final act of selfless kindness, undeserved, unexpected, given. Come bearing tissues if you ever want to watch Ask the Midwife with Rosemary and I at the rectory. I suppose it's because we believe we are made to long for such as these, for good to triumph over evil, for justice to prevail, for selflessness to be seen to be right. The reason why we groan, as the scriptures remind us, for heaven is such that we were made to long for such as this. We long for these things to prevail. There's a tension and a temptation in the world and the life that we now live, that we experience now while we wait. The temptation is to want, if not expect, heaven now in what we know and experience. We want heaven now. We even convince ourselves to think that if heaven is not now and things aren't going well, then we must be outside of God's will. And the tension is knowing heaven is not to be expected now, in the here and the now, but to wait for with a certain hope that grants us joy and peace in the waiting. Can you hear the temptation? Can you experience the tension? Likewise and similarly, I think it's times we want to know that God is active. That God is active in the here and the now, and what has always been and will be. We want to see, hear about, have proof that God is active, so to be certain that what we've been taught is true and faith is not in vain. His goodwill triumphing over evil, his justice prevailing, and all people seeing God's salvation. We hear and see so much from places worldly like the media, opinions, places and people of learning that block out our seeing the activity of God. We understand and accept that though not seen on stage and to the fore, all the leading role, God is still working silently, efficiently, effectively in events behind the scenes. We believe this. But what we hear and see, life's daily drama performing around us, speaks so often over ours and crowds out us seeing clearly God at work. His influence appears to be lost, hidden and overlooked, forgotten. All the more, I think, when comfort and convenience, like we're going through now, of a stable life routine is taken away. And what we held on to help us to know is gone. I don't know about you, but I feel like COVID has uprooted me, placed me in an unknown place, and I'm having to learn to live for him in this new place that I find myself in. We need to know that God is involved in our lives, but it's difficult to see it, experience it. We need to be told to see, experience our nature's crave. But the problem with that, as it has been through all eternity, to the present, to the future, is that we will never be content if we rely on experience. No one experience will ever satisfy. We will always eventually doubt the reality of the experience. We will long for another and another and another and another. We will always eventually doubt the reality of our experience and long for another. If that is where our faith is placed, in knowing God, experience. To be certain of the things we have been taught, if that is where our faith is placed, we will be constantly disappointed. But why does Luke record John's ministry, his story in his gospel? Remember right back to the beginning of what was said of him and pointing to Jesus, that no word of God will ever fail. We are to trust God at his word and to fulfill that in his timing, and to trust and walk in the knowledge of his word fulfilled. It's interesting that in introducing John there in chapter 3, Luke records John as saying there, the word of God came to John, son of Zechariah, in the wilderness. Right? It's not the same word that John the Evangelist uses at the beginning of his gospel, logos. It's archaean that Luke uses. But what we have here is interesting. Luke is saying John is a prophet speaking God's word. Listen to what he has to say. God will fulfill it through him. The word of God came to John, son of Zechariah, in the wilderness. But I find it interesting that John picks up on that same theme. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God. And words reveal God. And it's interesting that the Word of God, Jesus, the one who would reveal and make God's salvation known to all people, came to John in the wilderness. And the Spirit came upon him at his baptism. And God the Father said of his Son, to the readers and to you, when you have doubts, remember, this Jesus is my Son, God's saying to us. In him, I am well pleased. Heavenly Father, thank you for the ministry of John. Thank you for his faithfulness, even in the times of his doubts. Thank you that he trusted you at your word, and thank you for Jesus' love and compassion for him. And Father, in our doubts, in our uncertainties, we trust you at your word too, to know that it will be fulfilled. Your salvation has been fulfilled in your Son Jesus. He is the one through whom forgiveness of sins comes. This is the good news. Amen.
A lot to remember. A lot to take to heart. And it's really interesting to hear again and to be reminded about God and his word. And if we think back, we're thinking about today's message, his word in the prophets, his word in the Spirit, and his word in Jesus. You see, God can't lie. God is a God of truth. And we need to hang on to that. When God speaks, he doesn't lie. He speaks the truth. So I'd love you to please stand with me and join in song about God has spoken and God continually to speak. Please stand and join with me and the music team in this next song, God Has Spoken.
Change.
Please be seated. We're about to spend some time in prayer. Please be still. We can come because of Jesus, because he intercedes for us. What a privilege it is. And as we calm our minds and think of God and Jesus and what he has done, let us consider how we are with God, how we walk our lives. Although we are the people of God, Scripture reminds us that we still sin. We need to confess our failures, knowing that the Lord Jesus died for us and intercedes for us with the Father. So let us now draw near to God, who freely forgives through his infinite goodness and mercy, and pray to him with sincerity and confidence. Heavenly Father, we praise you for adopting us as your children and making us heirs of eternal life. In your mercy, you have washed us from our sins and made us clean in your sight. Yet we still fail to love you and serve you as we should. Forgive us our sins and renew us by your grace, that we may continue to grow as members of Christ, in whom alone is our salvation. Amen. God is slow to anger and full of compassion. He forgives all who humbly repent and turn to his Son, Jesus Christ, in whom there is no condemnation. Amen. Please continue to join in prayer as Jesus taught us. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen. Diane's going to continue leading us in prayers for the cares of the world.
When we look out at the world, we see so many in need of knowing you. We offer our prayers for those living in areas of particular conflict, Haiti, Burkina Faso, and Myanmar, where there has been violence and killings. In Ukraine and Kazakhstan, where Russia is building up troops. And for the people of Lima in Peru and Qinghai in northwest China who recently experienced earthquakes. We pray for safety for all those living in these areas and for your spirit to be welcomed into the hearts of perpetrators or ruling authorities and to change them. We feel so small watching such events, but seek your peace and the reassurance of your almighty power and promises to your people. We ask for protection of the vulnerable, healing for the hurt and injured, and comfort for the families who have lost loved ones. Strengthen your missionaries as they share the good news of the gospel in so many of these troubled areas. Prepare the hearts of those who will hear of you and open them to receive you in peaceful, joyful surrender. Keep your messengers safe and close, especially our link missionaries, the Thomas family in Thailand, and the Retondanos and the Blairs working with Iranian and Afghani Muslims in Western Sydney. We thank you for the work of the Pharisees in Kununurra with BCA, Kim Patterson in County Dublin, Ireland, and St. Speciosa Orphanage in Uganda. Prosper their work and bring glory to your name, we pray. Loving Father, we again start another year hoping it will be moving us forward from the last two. Help us, we pray, to draw on your strength as we navigate through fresh fears and anxieties. May your Holy Spirit prompt us anew to turn to you to offload our worries. Your love for us is boundless, so we seek your comfort. For many who are enjoying a holiday, we ask for safety in travel and good rest. Guide our thoughts to this new year, which can bring a renewal of spirit within us as we plan ahead. Help us set our hearts clearly on you at the centre of all we do. We ask for your wisdom and guidance also for the parish council members as they too prepare for the year in their management of all that you have provided for our church. Keep them united as they work together to grow us all as followers of Jesus. Dear Lord, we pray for the upcoming men's breakfast. We ask for your spirit to prepare the hearts of all who will be coming so that they connect well with each other and openly share their faith. Loving God, we are so grateful that we can be reassured that you are always there for us, no matter our circumstances. We might sometimes think you're not doing anything, but may we be reminded that when Jesus first walked the earth, many thought he didn't present as they thought he would. In our Bible teaching, we even saw John the Baptist seek clarification from Jesus himself about this. God's plans and promises are true and certain. He is faithful and always in control. We pray that we can continue to grow in faith and trust in you, remain strong as we take up your yoke, and keep our eyes focused on you. In our weakness, God is our strength. God, our refuge and strength, you have bound us together in a common life. Help us in the midst of our present concerns to confront one another without hatred, bitterness or impatience, to listen to your voice amid competing claims, and to work together with mutual forbearance and respect through Jesus Christ our Lord. Spirit of justice and truth, grant to our governments and all who serve in public life wisdom and skill, imagination and energy. Protect them from corruption and the temptation of self-serving. Help us to commit ourselves to the common good, that our land may be a secure home for all its peoples, through Jesus Christ, the Prince of Peace. Almighty God, you proclaim your truth in every age by many voices. Direct those who speak where many listen, those who write what many read, those who influence what many see, that they may do their part in making the heart of this people wise, its mind sound, and its will righteous, to the honour of Jesus Christ our Lord. Almighty and everlasting God, direct, sanctify and govern our hearts and bodies in the ways of your law and the works of your commandments. By your mighty protection, may we be kept safe in body and soul and serve you with generous and joyful hearts, bringing glory to your holy name through our Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ. Let us pray that we will be faithful to our baptismal calling. Almighty, eternal God, when the Spirit descended upon Jesus at his baptism in the Jordan, you revealed him as your own beloved Son. Keep us, your children born of water and the Spirit, faithful to our calling. We ask this through our Lord Jesus Christ, your Son, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, forever and ever. Amen.
We just pause at this particular moment to just highlight some announcements. You have your beautiful, news and notes. That's the word I'm looking for. I'm terribly sorry. But there's a few that we just want to highlight, bring to your attention. The first one is the form. Asking whether you'd like to share in this year's ministry. It's up the back of the church. And if you please fill that out and complete it and pop it in, I think it's the box at the back, red box apparently, we would be really pleased to receive what you feel that you'd like to serve the Lord this year. Our church runs beautifully because so many people contribute, and if you feel that you would like to join each and every one of them, please fill that in and pop it in the back box, and someone will go through it and contact you. The second important thing is the men's breakfast. So all the gents are getting together on the 29th of January to have breakfast. Guys, please put it in your diary. It's a great time, and I think the guys really enjoy being together and learning more about God and fellowshipping and just loving one another, which is really great. There's a lot of guys just don't get together anymore, and it's a great opportunity to be God's men gathering. So please put that in your diary and come along. So the last thing, which is really important, if you have something that's deep on your heart and that you'd like some prayer for, we have two beautiful people down the front, Dick and Trevor, after the service to pray with you and for you. So please take advantage of this. It is a good thing to do, to be able to pray with your brothers and sisters. We're now going to stand, so please stand. And we're going to have a statement of what we believe. So please join with me in this statement. Do you believe in God the Father? We believe in God the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. Do you believe in God the Son? We believe in Jesus Christ, God's only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day, he rose from the dead. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. From there, he will come to judge the living and the dead. Do you believe in the Holy Spirit? We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Today we've heard some wondrous truths from God's word, and I hope we can all rejoice as we leave the building and go out into the world. It's a great, great thing to know that no word from God will ever fail. We can be sure of that because he's such a wondrous, truthful God. And his salvation, his plan of salvation, will come to pass. We're going to sing now in his name, which again reiterates the coming of Jesus and God's word in foretelling it through the prophets, Jesus, and the Holy Spirit. In his name, please join with the music team.
Thanks, Tina. Please stay for morning tea if you're able to after the service, and continue the fellowship.
The prophet saw in ages past light in the distant dawn. The king Son of God now in the flesh. He seeks to save the lost, a king who left his majesty. Will I to set us free, and in his name a saving word. Release from every stain, and in the darkness we have heard. This is God's own. This is God's only plan. And oh, for a thousand tongues to sing my great Redeemer's praises. And oh, for a thousand tongues to sing my great speak. Jesus Christ is Lord, and as he breaks the hardest heart, he's worshipped and adored, and in his name a saving word. Released from every stain, and in the darkness we have heard, this is God's only plan. This is God's only.
God's plan of salvation, his word never returns empty to him. We can take heart on that. And God's word never fails. All things we can take home today to know that we can rely on such a mighty, mighty God. So please join with me in this prayer as we go out today.
Father, take us and use us to love and serve you and all people in the power of your Spirit and in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen.
May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in him, so that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen.
Please join us for morning tea this morning.